The reading is taken from Exodus chapter 18, beginning at verse 13. This is page 76 on the Church Bibles. The next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning till evening. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What is this you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge, while all these people stand round you from morning till evening?" Moses answered him, "Because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and laws." Moses' father-in-law replied, "What you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them the decrees and laws and show them the way to live and the duties they are to perform. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases they can decide themselves. That will make your load lighter because they will share it with you. If you do this and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain and all the people will go home satisfied." Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. This is the word of the Lord.
Brilliant. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this part of Exodus that is a turning point for so much of our biblical narrative. And we pray that as we look at this passage, as we reflect on what it teaches us today, we pray that we would be challenged, encouraged, and even changed by you. In your name. Amen. Well, I've been looking forward to preaching on this passage for about 18 weeks, since we started Exodus. And as I was laying out the sermon series and kind of just looking at the different chapters and looking at the different parts and working out which bits of the story we'd have and which bits of the story we have to skip, I came across this chapter, which I think up until now I'd always just skipped over. But when I read it back in January as we were putting this together, it stopped me in my tracks. And I've not been able to stop thinking about it since I read it. And I want you to picture the scene. I want you to imagine, don't worry, Bishop Martin is not just making a surprise appearance. That's not why the throne's here. This is a bishop's throne, just so you know. It's normally tucked up over there. But I want you to picture the scene for a minute that King Charles is coming to visit. But I want you to imagine King Charles coming to visit in a very different world, in a time where he doesn't have any dukes of any kind. He doesn't have any princes ruling with him. He doesn't have any government. He doesn't have the Met Office. He doesn't have the police. He doesn't have all those justice systems and the justice courts and all those things. He doesn't have any of that. And he's coming to visit Sussex, and he comes and sits in this throne here. And through the course of the next few hours, days probably, he says, "Right, I'm here at St. Mary's Slapham to listen to all the problems of all the people of Sussex. If you've got family or disputes, if you've got legal disputes, if you've got issues about the country and the way the country's being led, if you've got issues about God, if you've got issues about understanding these things, if you've got issues about your family, just bring them to me and I'll deal with them all for you." Now, that would be absolutely bonkers, wouldn't it? But that's exactly what Jethro finds when he comes to visit Moses. Now, Moses, we have to remember, is a family man, and Jethro is his father-in-law. We hear him referred to as the father-in-law. I think it's 7 times in that passage. Every time Jethro is introduced, he's introduced as Jethro, Moses' father-in-law. And that's because the family relation was a very important one. The familial link was very important. Today, in-laws generally tend to be the butt of jokes more than anything else. Even in the marriage preparation courses that we do up and down the country, it says you have to remember that when you marry the spouse you choose, you marry a family you didn't. And that's the way it's kind of viewed, but actually that's not the case in Moses' time. That relationship would have been very important. So that's why he's always referred to as Jethro, Moses' father-in-law. Now, Moses met Jethro back in chapter 3 when he was on the run, or before chapter 3 when he was on the run from Pharaoh, and then he finds himself in the wilderness and he finds this group of women who are in trouble and he helps and rescues them. And those women happen to be the daughters of Jethro. As a reward, Jethro says that Moses can marry one of his daughters, which he does, and then they have their own children and raise those children. But then when it comes to the time of the Exodus and they're escaping Egypt, and going through the wilderness, Moses feels it's safer for his family to go back to be with their father, to be with Jethro. And so he sends them back. And then after this incredible battle, Jethro pays a visit. To remind ourselves a little bit of who Jethro is a priest of the Midianites. Now, the Midianites are also descendants of Abraham from another family line. And so they are also what we call monotheistic. So they believe in one God. They worship one God in the same way that Moses would have done and the people of Israel would have done. And Jethro was a priest within the Midianites. So he also was a person who would have understood what it means to hear people's issues and problems and challenges and trials, and to represent God to the people. And so here is Jethro. He decides after the battle that we heard about last week that it's a safe and a good time for Moses to have this beautiful opportunity to be reunited with his family. So Jethro travels the distance, bringing them with him so Moses can have that beautiful time of being reunited. And then you hear this wonderful dialogue, this conversation between them, which we didn't read at the beginning of chapter 18, where there's this beautiful thing of Moses telling Jethro the things that God has done. Like telling the stories of the plagues, telling the stories of the Exodus, telling the stories of the parting of the Red Sea and the manna from heaven and the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire leading them by day and night, the story of quail just appearing when they're hungry, water coming from the rock, and this epic battle that they've just had and just come to the other side of. And he's telling those stories to Jethro, his father-in-law, and Jethro's response is to just delight in what God is doing and to praise God with Moses. It's a beautiful picture of them just sharing that celebration together, just rejoicing together. And then Jethro decides to stick around for a little while and to just kind of see what's unfolding and see what's happening. And what he sees is that scene that we just had at the beginning of Moses sat in a place and all of these people gathering around Moses, bringing to him their issues, their gripes, their questions about God. And as Moses kind of in a way rightly says, I'm the only person who can do this because their issues, they need to understand their issues in the context of God. And I'm the only one who's met God the way I have. So I'm the only one who can do that. I'm the only one who can help them to understand God in that way. So when they come to me, I've just got to introduce them to God and show them who God is and help them to see their problems in the light of that God. And Jethro looks at what Moses is doing and, to paraphrase him slightly, says, what on earth are you doing? Moses, what on earth are you thinking? Can you not see how unsustainable this is? Can you not see how much of a mistake this would be if you were to try to do this for a week, let alone a year, let alone for the rest of your time as leader of the people of Israel? We're talking here about Moses single-handedly leading over 1 million people. Single-handedly taking on the spiritual care of over 1 million people. And you can see today how that's not sustainable. But the only reason you can see today that that's not sustainable is because God, by his infinite wisdom, gave this idea to Jethro of a new and different way of doing leadership. A new and different way of leading a nation. and it's one that we still follow today. So our king does have his representatives on earth. He does have other people who have responsibility for other areas. He does have a government. He does have the policing system, the justice system. He has his high sheriffs. He has people who can represent him and listen to the gripes and challenges and trials and injustices of all the people around them and take to him what needs to go to him and not worry about those things that don't. Now, it makes sense to us today because we see it all the time. We have our constituencies, we have our areas of leadership, we have our different leaders, but they'd never seen this before. The only thing the people of Israel had ever known is one dictator leader telling them how to live life, telling them what to do, telling them how to behave. And God is making it very clear that that's not going to be the case for the people of Israel. And so Jethro, I believe, inspired by the Holy Spirit, has this incredible suggestion to Moses. And he suggests to him two things. The first thing is to ensure that Moses is taking everything to God. All of those burdens, all of those struggles, all of those issues, that he's not carrying them on his own, but he's taking them to the God who can hold them. He's making sure that Moses is doing that. Yes, as a priest, Moses represents God to his people and his people to God. But he also needs to ensure that he's not carrying those burdens alone, but he is taking them to that God. And then he gives them this new model of leadership, to find people who can lead the people. To find people who can lead groups of 1,000 or 500 or 50 or 10 or whatever it may be, to just lead leaders, basically. He's asking Moses to lead leaders. And what you look at is what Jethro asks for is really quite strong and quite powerful. He says, I want you to find God-fearing, trustworthy people. People who won't be given in to bribes, people who won't be persuaded, people who won't be bribed to do the wrong thing, people of integrity and honesty and truth and justice, people basically with the principles of God himself. I want you to find those people and put them in position so that they can receive those little things that you don't need to worry about, and then they can bring to you the bigger things. It's not the people bringing to Moses the bigger things, it's those leaders bringing to Moses the bigger things. And that is how Israel continued to be led. You read through the book of Judges and Joshua, that's how they continued to be led until they were stupid enough to want to have their own king. And so they go to God and say, we want our own king. We want to be like the other nations. We don't want to do it this way anymore. We don't want to have to go to a middleman. We want to go to our own leader. And so we want our own leader. And then we have this series of kings through the book of Kings, some of whom are pretty good, most of whom are absolutely terrible and dictators and horrible people. But the ones who are wise, the ones who take the counsel of God, the ones who listen to the counsel of God, you find they place around them people to help them in their leadership, following this kingdom model of leadership that God has introduced through Jethro. And then Moses, what I love about Moses here, is his absolute respect for Jethro. Because he could have said, no thanks, I'll carry on doing it my way. This is how God's given me to do it, I'm going to do it. But Jethro made it clear that he believed he was talking on behalf of God. And Moses listened. And he responded. And he did exactly what Jethro was calling him to do. And it changed the course of the way leadership was done for the people of Israel. And also even for us today. And it's a model that even Jesus himself adopted on earth. The first thing Jesus did when he began his ministry after his baptism and that time in the wilderness was to gather. To gather around him people that he was raising up to be leaders. And we look at the disciples and we think, oh, they were messing up so much. They were getting so much wrong. They just really didn't get it. They just seemed to get it all so, so wrong. But then actually, when you think about it, Jesus raised them up as leaders in just 3 years. After those 3 years and after the pouring of the Spirit on Pentecost, those guys were ready. They were ready to lead. They were ready to introduce people to God and to introduce the ways of God to people. That's what Moses was doing, just trying to introduce the ways of God to the people in front of him. And that's what he called the other leaders to do. And that's what Jesus is doing in raising the disciples. You've heard me say before the whole thing about Jesus saying, I will make you fishers of men. Actually isn't to do with evangelism, how we normally understand it. It's not about telling people about Jesus. That actually is an idiom of the time, a kind of a phrase that we use to mean something else. For example, today we might say it's raining cats and dogs when it's not literally raining cats and dogs. And the phrase, I will make you fishers of men, the literal meaning was, I will teach you to teach. I'm teaching you to be a teacher. I'm teaching you to lead, and you will go and you will lead others. Jesus came to a specific time, and yes, we know God could do anything he wants and do it however he wants, but he chose to do it this way through his church, through his people, by raising up leaders. And so we have this beautiful kingdom picture of ministry and the care of the people being shared by people who are people of integrity. And all from this place of wisdom from Jethro and the obedience of Moses. Jethro, I think, has become one of my heroes of scripture. Like, just the wisdom that he portrayed and the way he portrayed it and Moses' response to it. But there's three things that have really encouraged me as I've been reflecting through this, as I've been reflecting on this on the past few weeks, but particularly on the past few days. There's three things I just want us to take from this. The first is obviously the very clear call from Jethro to ensure that when we are carrying the burdens of others, that we're carrying them to Jesus. That we're not carrying them on our own. That we have with us always the one whose yoke is easy and whose burden is light, the one who can hold it all, the one who is far better at caring for other people than even you are. To entrust to God the care of those you care for. That's what Jethro is calling Moses to do, to entrust to God the care of those you care for, particularly when the circumstances and situations are out of your control. That's what Moses is being encouraged to do by Jethro. And I think that's a call for each of us. But also, I think this model of leadership that Jethro introduces that has become known throughout the known world is also a beautiful picture of what we're seeking and trying and praying to build here in West Weald. That sharing of leadership across the parish so that it doesn't all fall on one person. Now imagine the scene again, imagine me sat in this chair and it gets to the end of the service and I say, right, after the service you can come and bring me all of your problems, any issues that you have, any gripes that you have, any issues you have about God, any questions you've got about God, any familial family stuff you're struggling with, any issues with the law that you're struggling with, just come and bring them to me, and then when you're done the people from St. Mark's will come up the road and they'll bring me their stuff, and then the people from Warninglid will come down the road, and then the people from Handcross will come along, and then people from Peace Pottage will come, and I'll just sit here and just deal with all their issues and all their problems and everything that's going on in their life. And I have to say to Toby, sorry, can't go to football this afternoon, I'm a little bit busy, I've got other stuff to do, I've got to help all these people. And that's just not sustainable, is it? Nothing about that is sustainable. But the reality is that our generation of priests have inherited that thing of the priest does everything, and that's not kingdom ministry. But what I have got is I've got Phil and Barbara's and Monique and Abraham's and Rick and Sarah's and teams around me and wardens and people around me, PCC around me, to gather around me so that we're doing this together for the sake of the kingdom. And what we're seeking to do here in West Weald is slightly outside of the box of the Church of England, but I don't believe it's outside the box of the kingdom. Not when you look at what Jethro introduced to Moses in this passage. And what Jesus himself did in his own ministry. And generally, if it's good enough for Jesus, it should be good enough for us too. I believe that what you find in this passage with Jethro is the very beginnings of the priesthood of all believers, which is the kingdom way of leadership. But the third thing is much more relevant for right now, for this very time we find ourselves in. You may have heard about this thing called a quiet revival happening in our nation, where young people up and down the country, for some reason, are just coming to faith. Through all kinds of different means and ways, they're returning to Scripture and they're coming to church with a desire to just walk into church and to be part of what God is doing or to find out about who God is. Now, it is happening up and down the country. We've seen it happening here in our own parish as well. And as those young people come through the doors, as they come to encounter God, to experience God, to grow in what it means to follow God, as they grow in to be leaders, they are going to need Jethros. They are going to need spiritual father-in-laws who will instill to them the wisdom that they themselves have received from their own experiences of God. And I think that's a call to our generation. As we see this new generation come through to say, God, where are you calling me to be a Jethro to that generation? To speak the wisdom that you have given me through the experiences I've had of you and to pass those experiences on. To seek to find who are those leaders that we could be raising up with wisdom and integrity and justice and mercy. One of my favourite things that I ever learned at college. Now, you spend 3 years at college learning to be a vicar and you don't remember everything, but there are occasional things that you just don't forget. And we had this lecture on discipleship with Ron Jackson, who was the chaplain of the college. And he just posed these four questions that I think are absolutely beautiful and a beautiful picture of what we tried to build in Westworld. It's probably going to make a lot of sense of what drives me as you hear these questions. And it's basically four questions that follow on very simply from each other. What kind of Christian makes disciples? What kind of church makes that kind of Christian? What kind of leader makes that kind of church? And what kind of pastor makes that kind of leader? What kind of Christian makes disciples? What kind of church makes that kind of Christian? What kind of leader makes that type of church? And what type of pastor makes that type of leader? We're all seeking to make disciple-making disciples of each other. And we need our Jethros to speak to our Moses. I know Moses wasn't young at the time, but there was wisdom that Jethro had that he passed on to Moses. And so I think this passage speaks to us of this need that we have to take what we carry of others to the throne. It's a beautiful picture of what we're seeking to build here, and it's a reminder to us that this young generation who are coming through are going to need their Jethros. Could you be a Jethro? Is there someone in your life that you know God is calling you to pass your wisdom on to? Have you discounted yourself for being too old and therefore I have nothing to offer? In which case, I hope this story of Jethro reminds you that you still have a role in the kingdom of heaven to pass on what you yourself have received. And to the Moseses, receive that wisdom, ask for that wisdom. If you know there's people in this room that are wiser than you because they're more experienced than you, ask them for their wisdom. And God says, if anyone needs wisdom, they should just ask. Yes, you ask of God, but you can also ask of each other to share in that wisdom as well, but also to step out to being those Jethros to this next generation. Let's just be still for a minute and just invite the Holy Spirit to help us to take what we need to take and to lay down what we need to lay down. God, we thank you for those who are called to leadership. We thank you for those who are called, as we learnt last week, to support those in leadership. But we also thank you today for those who are called to pass on wisdom to those in leadership. And we know that the most important thing for any leader is to always have a teachable spirit. So we pray for all of our leaders to have teachable spirits. That you'd help us to be people who make disciples of the nations. And later we'll be commissioning the Jephros and the Aarons and Hurs and the Moseses of this church. And so we pray, Holy Spirit, would you reveal to each of us our God-given purpose for such a time as this. Whether that's the same as something that's been before or whether it's something new that we're being called to step into. Would you show us to what you're calling us, to who you're calling us? For the building of your kingdom and the glory of your name. Amen.